told you last week we didn't finish this verse because it's got a lot in it. It's going to take a few minutes to discuss it. But 2 Corinthians is the book on the ministry. I've told you that. I want to remind you of that so you'll know. And as we've said, you know, a lot of times, what you see today and what you hear don't exactly match what the Bible says. Now, verse 17, let's read it, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. The Bible says, for we are not as many. I mean many, not just a few, not as many, a lot of them. And that's where we are today, which corrupt the word of God. But as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, if you know the history of this, when this was wrote, the New Testament wasn't complete. Revelations wasn't wrote, John wasn't wrote, Ephesians wasn't wrote, Timothy, Titus, Philemon, all those books weren't wrote. The New Testament weren't finished. So if Paul says the Word of God, what's he talking about? You have to be talking about the Old Testament. And before the New Testament was even complete, there's some people there corrupting the Old Testament. Now, the word there, the corrupt, is like it's like using it to make a living. And you got a lot of that day, people get up and they'll use the Bible, they'll read the Bible, but their purpose is to get your money so they can make a living. And that's what the thing's talking about. Now, I checked some of these out. Of course, that's a verse that people that do that don't like to read. And the NIV, which is a modern-day translation recommended and used by the Southern Baptists and a lot of the other denominations, and the New American Standard Version recommended by Bob Jones, Tennessee Temple, they say peddling the Word of God. And they changed the word corrupt, see? I mean, the dirty, low-down, God-forsaken liars, and that's what they're saying. And yet these people that will do that want you to go to their school and pay them money for that garbage. Now, I'll tell you what that amount to. It'd be like this morning if I set up a stand out here and said, I'm going to sell my garbage. And that's what the schools are doing at Colossus Bible College. They're promoting that kind of stuff and expecting young men and young women to come to that school and pay for that kind of stuff while they corrupt the Word of God. Now, Let me show you what's going on here. This is right up to date. We're not in history. We're studying something that's up to date right now. They were corrupt in the Old Testament. And you know where the corruption of the Old Testament came from? It came from the origin of Alexander Egypt. And what they done, they inserted the apocryphas in the Bible. And the apocryphas is 7 books, or 12 books it is, between Malachi and Matthew. Now, the decree of the Catholic Church is, if you don't believe the apocryphas, you are cursed. It's in their religious creed or whatever it is. You see? They are corrupting the Word of God. Now, what's happened, and the devil's a lot smarter than most people, you know, the devil gets you to believe something that's wrong to give you a motive to do something that you want to do. And that's what people are looking for today. That's why, you know, like we mentioned a while ago, talking about people won't come to church. I guarantee you the First Baptist Church down is packed out this morning. I bet you the Methodist Church is packed out. I bet you the Church of God is packed out. You know why? Because they can go there, and what they're going to hear is not going to affect the way they want to live. Now, you're going to see some more of that in there in just a minute. Paul said, we are not as many, but we are not like many. And he wasn't talking about the barroom crowd and the dope head. He was talking about people that claim to know God. He was writing this to a church. He wasn't writing it to a social group or anything. He was talking to the people that pretend church, see, which corrupt the Word of God, see. But, here's what we are, but as we in God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. He said, we're not trying to exalt man or by corrupting the Word of God. We're trying to tell you and give you Christ. You see? Now, what did Jesus say about himself? He said, I'm the way and the truth. So when you present Christ to people, you present the truth of Christ to them. And that's what he said. Now, there's a lot of things today that, like we said, I told you, he mentioned up here in, let me read the verse 11. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I don't have time to go through all this, and I'm not even sure I have them all. But there's 45 devices the devil uses, and they work. All the devil's devices work. And the only thing that will give you any victory over the devil's devices is the Word of God. See? And the first device of the devil, the first one, and this is how it started, you know what he said? He said, hath God said. See? He knew that if he got that woman to disbelieve what God said, that she would do what he wanted her to do. And that's how the devil works today. Well, you can't believe that Bible. You can't go by that Bible. Well, you say, well, you're right. It wrote by men. All right, then you got an alibi to do what you want to do if it don't agree with the Bible. All right? But if you believe it, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, truth of God, and it says something to do or not do, you'll be hesitant about doing it, you see? Now, I'll give you a few common day illustrations, you know. And this will fit the young people, even some old people. I was up in the store here a few weeks ago and was talking to a woman, and something come up about smoking. And of course, she's a cigarette sucker. And we commenced to commune about what they say about them, you know. She said, well, something's going to kill you. Might well be cigarettes. I mean, that's the attitude people have today about things like, you know, well, something's going to kill me. Well, it might well be this. What they're doing, they're justifying there's something that's wrong. They know it's wrong. See? And they'll say, well, one church is about as good as another. You know, I mean, the devil can get you to believe that he's got you. They'll say, well, it's not how you look outside. It depends on what's inside. I've had them tell me that. Old Southern Baptist Church, they run out here with the clothes off and everything. Don't tell me they're saved. And I believe you get saved, you put your clothes on. I don't believe you take your clothes off if you're right with God. But they do it, see? I mean, they do it. And they say, well, it's what's in the heart. Well, you get your heart right and you'll fix everything else up, see? But that's what I'm trying to show you. Now, the Bible says we're not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Now, if something's corrupt, you know what it means? It means it's just ruined, you know? And that's what's going on today. You can see that. It's all over. And, you know, we preached a message on that here a while back. But the main thing, the only thing the devil don't want anybody to do is get to know God through the Word of God. So he has perverted and corrupted the Word of God. And I told you before, this is the Bible. It's King James Bible. It's the preserved Word of God in the English language. And they've rewrote it 78 times. And they rewrote it to try to turn you away from what God said. Now, let's just be reasonable. Suppose you wrote a letter to somebody, and you picked the letter up and said, I shouldn't have said that, so you rewrite it. Okay? When you rewrite it, you got it right, didn't you? No. You read it again, then you rewrite it, which means you don't believe none of it's right. So you know why they're rewriting the Bible? They don't believe none of them. And I've told you a thousand times that when somebody has two Bibles, they don't believe either one of them. A lady called me here one day and wondered what kind of church we were, and I told her. I said, we are independent Baptists. We believe the King James Bible is the only authority of God. That's all we use, all we recommend. We're against the rest of them. See, I can't agree. I can't understand the King James Bible. See, so, of course, she never showed up. But wouldn't nobody be comfortable here that didn't believe the Bible? No, they wouldn't be comfortable here at all. And I wouldn't recommend them even come here. I've told them, if you love the Lord and love the Bible, you get along with us. But you don't come around here, you wouldn't be comfortable here at all. Okay? All right, let's start chapter 3. Now, verse 1, he says this. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? In other words, he said, when I start now, have I got to commend myself? Have I got to sell myself to you? All right. Or need we, as some other epistle of condemnation to you, a letter or commendation from you? Okay, I reckon that'd be like a recommendation. Okay? So Paul is saying this to that church, we don't need a recommendation from you because you are our recommendation. You see it? And look at verse 2. There's two or three verses that got to get together here. You are our epistle. Now, epistle is a Greek word for letter. And you say the epistle of Ephesus, the epistle of whatever, it's a letter. And the book Corinthians was a letter. It was an epistle that Paul wrote. And he says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You see? In other words, what he's saying here, a man's recommendation is the fruit of his ministry. I had a preacher one time. He was supporting me and sent us a little money a month, and all of a sudden I sent him tapes, and one day I got a letter from him. He said, I want to know your doctrinal statement. In other words, he want to know what I believe. Well, I don't give nobody. You listen to me preach, you got my doctrinal statement. I don't try to I've candidated for a few churches. They always want to know, give us your what they call this thing, resume. And I said, I don't have any. As I'm saved and believe the Bible and preach the Bible, if you don't want that, you wouldn't want me anyway. You know, well, what they want you to do is tell them, well, I graduated from such a school, I have my degree and all this stuff, you know, that's what they want. But anyway, I don't use that. So Paul says this, he said, I don't need a recommendation of you are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. See? Now, every person, I mean, you may not believe it, but you are a letter, and somebody reads you every day. Hmm? You go out in the world tomorrow, and you give your name, or if people know you, and they watch your life, and they read you. Okay? And you go out there, and you say, I'm a Christian, and you don't perform accordingly. They call you a hypocrite. You know, because, you know, unsaved people, they may not be saved, but they're not stupid. They some of them are real intelligent. And you say you're a Christian, they know how you're supposed to act. You know, there's a lot of people out there going to hell right now because they've seen somebody profess to be saved live worse than they do. Well, that's not going to justify them. That's their attitude. See, well, if I got a neighbor and a boy, she's a Christian, ain't nothing wrong with me, you know. And they have just called to say that, but I told them, I said, look, don't let some old lost church member send you to hell. And that's true. The Bible said, no man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Your life has an influence on somebody one way or another. Now, you may not influence one as much as you do another, but your life will influence somebody. One, I've told you that before, you see. Now, Paul said, you are our epistle. Now, people see you, and they know what I'm like, because you got saved into my ministry, I taught you, and they read you, and they know what I'm like, okay? That's what I said, you see. You see, it goes right back to the original. People say they believe the Bible, okay? And they belong to no religion that denies the Bible. See? They're like the Southern Baptists. I know a lot about them because I was in them 6 years. I know a lot. I know a lot about that outfit. And people say I believe the Bible and I'm saved and love the Lord, and they'll support that outfit that denies the Bible, denies the King James Bible, denies everything that's right. No such thing in the Bible as organized religion nowhere. And they'll sit back and they'll go to these old dead, dry churches. They'll never learn nothing, never grow, never do anything for God, and they'll keep on supporting that outfit. See? Listen, folks, when you finance something, you're putting your approval, you support it, you stand with it. I wouldn't finance nothing I didn't believe in. They come around this, all these gimmies, you know, I get letters in the mail every day. I get sometimes stacks of them. Want me to send them $20, $30, any amount. I got a letter today, and they said something about some relief fund. And they say, we're going to match anything you have sent. They sent two checks already made out, $10 and $20. If you send 10, we'll match 10. You send 20, we'll send 20. I threw it all in the garbage can. I don't support nothing like that. Nothing like that. Because if I support, I believe. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. All right. Verse 3. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. In other words, he's saying, you are made known to be an epistle of Christ. In other words, you are a letter of Christ. In other words, Christ wrote it. Okay? Now watch this real close. Ministered by us. You see? Christ wrote it, but it was delivered to them through Paul. Okay? You understand that? And he says, ministered by us, written not with ink. In other words, it wasn't just something wrote on paper. Nor in tables of stone. That'd be the Old Testament, New Commandment, the Old Commandments. But in fleshly tables of the heart. See? Now he said, what's happened to you? You heard what Christ said. You heard it through me. Okay? And it wasn't just something they wrote on paper. And that's what changed your heart. You see it? And when a heart, man's or woman's heart is changed, the life changes. You see that? Verse 4, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Okay? Now look at this verse 5. It's a great verse. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. But Paul said, we're not trying to think that everything that you have is because of us. Okay? Now watch this. The last 6 verses there. But our sufficiency is of God. Now here's what that verse means. Paul is saying that you are our epistle. And your life reveals what kind of minister we are. Okay? But it's not us. You couldn't say, well, I'm a good Christian because Paul taught me the Bible. You couldn't say that. See? And the only thing you can say is that what we gave you is from Christ. See, our sufficiency is of God. Now, another place, let me show you something else he said another place, Philippians chapter 3. Let me show you something this. Philippians, let's see, chapter 3. It's on page 1259. Listen to this. Philippians 3, verse 3. Beware of dogs. And I'm not going to do that. That's what I was talking about, four-legged, two-legged dog, religious dogs. Okay, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay? Now, don't you notice the last part of that verse? It said, rejoice in Jesus Christ. In other words, let your rejoicing, let Jesus Christ be the object of your rejoicing. And have no confidence in the flesh. Lord, don't trust nobody when it comes to knowing what you have and what you don't have. Our sufficiency is of God. And men don't preach like that today. Men don't point that. Men want you to think that they're it. Most preachers, and I've told you before, their purpose is to sell themselves to you, convince you to listen to them and don't listen to nobody else, don't follow nobody else, do what I say do, and we'll be all right. That's not what the Bible said. That's not the ministry. The ministry is to get people to get their mind and their thoughts and their action on God. And you do that through the Word of God, putting out what God says. You see? All right, verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers. Well, now what? That's continuation. He's the all sufficiency of God. Who? God. God has done this. Also hath made us able. In other words, made us able to do it. You see that? The men today say they're ministering. They credit their greatness to their school or their own knowledge or something like that. But Paul said, we are able to minister because of God. You see that? Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. See, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. All right. Now look at this thing real close. It's talking about the spirit in which you do something. You see? He said, not of the letter, something that's wrote, but of the Spirit. Now I go back to verse 3. Let me read that to you again. Verse 3 once again. For as much as we are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit. You see? Now he said, what we did was by the Spirit. Now let me illustrate this verse here. Suppose a man went up to his wife and put his arm around and said, honey, I love you. Okay? Now then, again he goes up and he gets mad and says, well, you know I love you. Shut up. See? He said the same words, but you see the difference in the Spirit. And that's what Paul's talking about here in this verse here. He says, we didn't just do it with letter, but the Spirit. You see? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You see? The right Spirit is what's important. And a man that don't have the Holy Spirit don't have the right Spirit. Now look in verse 7. But if the ministration of death, of course that's talking about the law, the Old Testament law, written and engraved in stones was glorious. Okay? So that the children of Israel could not steadfast behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. See? Now look at verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Notice he's saying this, if the Old Testament, if God wrote the Ten Commandments on tables of stone, and it was glorious, and it was so glorious that when Moses came down the mountain, the people couldn't look at him. He said, how much more is the glorious of the New Testament of the Spirit that gives a person life? You see? The Old Testament, the Old Commandment didn't give people life. It was a way of death. I mean, a man would go to hell trying to keep it. Nobody never got saved by keeping the law. The law wasn't given to save nobody. It never was. You see? Verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness excel in glory. Verse 10. For even that which was made glorious, Old Testament, had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelled the New Testament. Now, given a comparison of the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and the New Testament, and the Spirit that gives life. And when you, the summation of this, you'll see all this clear. These verses are kind of hard to understand, but they're really simple. You see? Look at verse 11. For if that, now what are we talking about? We're talking about the Old Testament, Ten Commandments on stone. For if that which is done away with, did you read what it meant, done away with? Now, what does Seventh-day Advent do with that verse? I mean, they say that Saturday is the day of worship. Well, it was. The seventh day. Saturday is the seventh day. So they meet on Saturday. But you know something I found out? Every heretic that's known, there's some chapters in the Bible they have to stay away from. You'll never catch a Church of Christ preaching out of Romans chapter 4. And you a Seventh-day Advent couldn't no more get up Sunday morning on Saturday and teach this nothing in the world. For if that which was done away was glorious, much more of that which remaineth is glorious. Okay? Seeing then that you have such hope. Okay? Look at this. Seeing that you have such hope. What's the hope? Is it the fact they have the Ten Commandments and they use them and they meet on Saturday and they fulfilling the works of the law? Is that what it's talking about? No. Not talking about that. He says, seeing that you have hope, you got hope now because you got something else. You got the Spirit. Alright? You got the Spirit that gives life. Alright? And because of that, we use plainness of speech. And we can talk plain. Make it clear. Verse 13. And not as Moses. Okay? Now Moses was an Old Testament prophet that God gave the law to. John chapter 1, the Bible said the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All right, not as Moses was put a veil over his face, covered his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfast look to the end of that which is abolished. Look at that thing again. Abolished. Verse 7 is done away with. Verse 11, done away. Verse 13, abolished. Now, if you'd have Seventh-day Advent, what would you do with that? You know what that says? That says that the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on tables of stone after Christ came and gave us a way of life, it's not in effect. It's done away with. And yet people today say, well, you got to do something to get saved. See? You see, when a person gets in a religion that requires him to do something, he's putting himself back in bondage. You see? Now let me illustrate what I'm talking about. We're living in an area in South Florida here. The big thing is the Church of God and Assembly of God. There's a big Assembly of God church in Clewiston, and they packed out. There's another one that broke off from that, and I understand they're packed out. And these people teach that you're saved, okay? Then they'll turn right around and say you got to live it to stay saved. No, they're pinning on their lifestyle to get them to heaven. They're putting themselves in a religious bondage. You see? Now, I believe when you get saved, you ought to live right. I believe you ought to live clean. I believe all that. But you don't do that as part of your salvation, because when you do that, you're not trusting Christ, you're trusting your lifestyle, see? You see, we trust Christ. Christ paid for our sins. His blood is the only thing that God will accept for mine and your sins. When you trust that, and that's all you trust. Now, if ever religion believed that, 95% of all churches morning wouldn't have a reason in the world to meet. This one right over here says you get saved, but you can't be saved unless you get baptized. That's making that's putting salvation under an element where you are required. What did Paul say? Put no confidence in the flesh. Heard a man one time say, I'm saved because I got baptized, said and set the place. He's putting confidence in the flesh. The Bible says put no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in Jesus Christ. How can you rejoice in Jesus Christ if you're not trusting Him 100% to save you? I'm rejoicing in Jesus Christ because He's all I got. Without Him, I'm going to hell. But I got Him. I ain't going there. And my being a preacher, and my going to church, and my lifestyle ain't going to affect my going to heaven one bit. Say, well, that's hard to believe. But that's the way it is. And you can't do a thing about it. Nobody can. Now look here. That's what Paul's talking about. He's saying this thing back there, God gave the Old Testament the law to show a man how he needed Christ. See? And a man picks the Bible up and begins to read the Bible, he'll realize, hey, look, boy, I'm in bad shape with God. That's what we're going to see now in just a few minutes if we get that far this morning. Look at verse 14. But their mind. Now, who is they in the verse? Their minds. It's talking about the Jews, the Old Testament, right? All right? But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. In other words, an Old Testament Jew, he looks at Isaiah 53 and he thinks it's Israel. Isaiah 53 is talking about Christ. He reads Psalms 22. Psalms 22 is talking about the crucifixion of Christ. He thinks that's David. You know why? He's got a veil over him. He can't see it. But if he gets saved, it's real clear to him. See? A lot of people can't stand the Bible because they aren't saved. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, see? I mean, God didn't write this book to heathen people. God wrote this book to save people. But if a man picks the Bible up and he begins to read it, and he believes what it says, things will start to clear up. He'll begin to see. You see? Now let me read a couple of verses here. But even unto this day, when Moses read, now what is Moses? Huh? What is that? That's the first five books of the Bible. He said, even today, when a Jew reads the first five books of the Bible, see, the veil's upon their heart. You know what I mean? It means they can't believe it. One time Jesus told that crowd, he said, you believe Moses, you ought to believe me because Moses wrote of me. See? Now, why can't they believe? Did you ever have somebody say, I wish I could believe that? I told a man one time about how I got saved and what God did. I wish I could believe that. Now, let me show you why they can't believe. Go back to John 12. John chapter 12. And look at this. John 12. Look at verse 39. It's on page 1133. John 12. Verse 39. Therefore, they could not believe. This is the Jewish nation when Christ was on this earth. And the Bible said in John 12:39, therefore, they could not believe. Why couldn't they believe? Because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. See? Now, why? Why did God? Mercy said he had blinded their eyes. There's the veil we're reading about in 2 Corinthians. Okay? Hardened their heart. They couldn't believe. Okay? Now look at this thing, folks. Look at it. Look at this. Let me show you something. Who did this to them? Who blinded their eyes and hardened out that they couldn't see and hardened their heart they couldn't believe? Who did that? God did it. God did it. Why did God do it? You think today God would blind somebody where they couldn't see and harden their heart where they couldn't believe? I believe it. Sure I do. There are people today that won't ever get saved. There are people today that can't get saved because God has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. But they did something first. And look what it is in verse 37. I'll show you what they did. Verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. See? Christ came this world, and he performed miracles that nobody but God could have done. He revealed to them beyond any reasonable doubt that he was the Messiah, the one that God sent to be their Messiah. And you know what the trouble was? Just like the trouble with a lot of people today, they didn't want to violate their traditional religion and believe God. And there's people this morning that's going to die and go straight to hell that's heard the Bible, heard the gospel, because they are not turned from their traditional religion except what God said. The same thing here. I mean, they had conclusive evidence beyond any reasonable doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God that came to be their Messiah, the ruler of their nation, and they wouldn't believe on him. And so the Bible says, Isaiah said, God blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, but they couldn't believe. And there's people today, that's what I've told you and I've put out and preached for 30 years, the most dangerous thing anybody can do is reject the Word of God. I don't know how long God will deal with any person. He may deal with you 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years. But I'm going to tell you something. When God blinds your eye and hardens your heart, honey, you're doomed for hell. So I said, well, I can get saved in time I want to. No, you can't get saved in time. You can get saved when God lets you get saved. Amen. Salvation of the Lord. Amen. Now, let me go back to where I was. I want to show you something else about this thing. My time, we've got to get finish this up in a minute, but I want to try to finish this chapter this morning. But look at verse 16. Nevertheless, in view of all this, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In other words, Paul is saying this to about the Jewish nation. If a Jew turns to the Lord and believes, that veil is taken away. You get a Jew saved, he can take the old tale and find Christ all through it. Boy, you talk about somebody that can show you Christ in the Bible, you get a Jew saved. He can. I mean, you take folks that are saved, you can find Christ. I don't have no trouble opening this Bible and finding Christ and knowing the Lord. It's no problem at all. That's all you find. Look at verse 17. Look at another great verse. Now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Let me show you how a lot of folks, they say, well, I'm saved, I have liberty. And you do, if you're saved, you have liberty. Not liberty to sin. The context of this is, when you get the Spirit of God, you're not under no religious bondage. See? A man that is saved with the Spirit of God and had life in God through the Spirit of God don't say, well, I got to do this. I got to do this. I can't do this. I got to perform this. I got to stay here. See? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now listen. Now the Lord is that Spirit. You listen? The Lord is that Spirit. You can't have the Lord and not have the Spirit of the Lord. The charismatics is heresy. They teach you get saved and then you get the Spirit. You can't be that way. When you get saved, you have the Lord. And if you have the Lord, what do you have? What does it say? Huh? The Lord is the Spirit. Right? Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, you saved? Okay, you have the Spirit of God. You have the Lord. And you have liberty. You're not under no bondage, no religious bondage. You don't have to perform no kind of ceremonies. You don't have to perform nothing to get saved or stay saved because God did it. All right? Now look at verse 18. But we all, that's a good southern verse for you. But we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me tell you what that verse says, verse 18. Open face, that means no veil. Okay? All right. As a glass. You ever look in a glass? You can see an image, but it ain't real clear. It's not like looking at a perfect picture. Okay? Now, the Bible said it'd be like a mirror. And what this verse is saying is this. If you're saved, you open the Bible. And the more you open the Bible, you don't see everything clear. You with me now? But you do see, the more you get in the Bible, the more you see God. The more glory that you see in God. And as you see that glory of God, it begins to affect you. See it? And as it affects you, it changes you to become like that. You see that? Did you ever notice somebody and they'll hang around? Every time you see this girl, they're always together. Has two girls, they're never apart. And the first thing you know, they're both acting alike. And talking alike, right? Well, same way the Bible. You get in the Bible and you begin to look in the Bible and see God, see the glory of God, you'll start to get like it, see? It'll change, it'll affect you. Now the devil knows that. What does the devil know? That's why he don't want you to get around the Bible. He wants you just getting a religion. See? Now look what it says. Let me read it again. Maybe now you understand. But we all who is all of us? That everybody in Georgia, everybody in Florida? No, that's saved people. Okay? But we all with open face, no veil, nothing between us, okay? Open face. Behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. You know, you couldn't stand the full measure of God's glory. You couldn't handle it. But you can see some of it. You get some of it, right? And it says, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed unto the same image. See? You start looking in the Bible, seeing the glory of God, and start to change you in that image. And it says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see? The Spirit of God in you, if you're saved. And you have, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. Right? And that Spirit will start to change you over like this Bible says. See? You can't separate. You see, I've told you 100,000 times, folks, that if you're saved, you have a Spirit in you that's clean and holy and pure and righteous and loves God and loves this Bible. Then how can people profess to be saved and can't stand to get around the Bible? It don't come out. See? There's something inside you. Did you ever have somebody say, well, there's something in me that just wants that? I'm just longing for that. There's something inside of me that just makes me want to go, you know? And that's the way a saved person is. There's a spirit in you that wants this Bible. There's a spirit in you that wants God. You see it? There's a spirit in you that...